This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to Both the Pod.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It is a Washington Capitals podcast, which means it's a podcast about your 2018 Stanley Cup champions. Thank you all for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcast, and Spotify. Well, yes, this show is about the Washington Capitals and the 2018 Stanley Cup champions. However, this past week, this show really should be about the promoted Hershey Bears, because that's who's playing right now in the NHL. The Hershey Bears are playing. What a crazy week it has been for Caps fans. It's what we're living through with COVID is just what we kind of have to go through. And during the last show, Coach Dan brought up the fact that the Capitals were fined $100,000 for not following COVID protocols. And we were recording as this news broke. And then when we got done recording, news came out about, you know, what was actually happening. And we know a little bit more about that. But joining me, as always, to talk all about it, Coach Dan, what's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm just happy they didn't wait until the next day, as they usually do, to break news. They waited until the end of the show this time.
Yeah, that's true. We were wrapping it up. We were ready to get done and go have some dinner, and boom, $100,000.
Yeah, I mean, it was a little nuts what happened. And, I mean, we can start with that, obviously. It's a dumb rule. Because they're on the bench, they're on the ice, they're celebrating together.
Everyone should know, but for those who don't know,
Why
were they fined $100,000?
Well, the team was fined $100,000 because they had players, and the team itself was breaking the COVID protocols in terms of keeping themselves, having masks on in the locker room. Anytime they're not on the ice, they're supposed to be wearing masks, not socializing outside of team events, I guess, kind of thing. And I don't know if I'm using the right terminology. And what we found out afterwards, after the fine, is that the Caps had already been given a stern warning. I think it's the terminology that was used, or the verbiage. They were given a stern warning after the first game. And I think that's because they stupidly posted a video of the Cobra Kai bit of the guys in the locker room not wearing masks. And the NHL had to do one of those like facepalm gifts kind of thing where they're like, are you serious right now? Like, what did we say? I work at a school, and I feel like it's the children I work with, where I'm like, what were the instructions?
Right.
Like, you know what you're supposed to be doing and not doing. Well, how are you capable of doing it? And, like, I get that the rule is dumb, that you're supposed to be wearing masks because you're not doing it, you're on the bench. I mean, they're literally, like, I mean, you can see me, other people cannot. They're literally sitting on the bench like this, up next to each other, getting ready to jump on the ice. They're bumping into other guys and so on and so forth. But you have to wear a mask in the locker room, and you're not supposed to be socializing. So the team already got a stern warning. They got, you know, clearly they got caught doing it again. So they got a hefty fine. They were made example of, where even, I'm trying to think of an appropriate word to use here. Not so nice hockey players like Brad Marchand are coming out and talking negative things about the Capitals, even though that guy licks people. So
yeah, definitely can't do that now.
Well, I don't know what Marchand's going to do then. I mean, he's a talented hockey player, but he's also kind of an a-hole. But anyways. So, we'd be screwed in that regard. Ovechkin, Kuznetsov, Orlov, and Samsonov now have to quarantine, because if I understand correctly, Samsonov tested positive.
He did. Supposedly, he's asymptomatic, but he did test positive for COVID.
And because of contact tracing, and because those four idiots were all together without masks on, even though they were told not to do that, and they took pictures of it, they got caught, and then they are at least missing four games. They're at three at this point. Thursday, I think, is the fourth game. And, yeah, that's where we're at right now in terms of that situation. So they're not allowed to play, and which only puts more stress on the rest of the team, because you need other guys that are going to step up. And we've seen that, especially with the first game against the Islanders last night. We saw more guys stepping up, but it affects your goaltending, because Samsonov is supposed to be your number one. So they're having to rely on Vanecek, who isn't proven. We can talk about him in a minute. It's hurting your centers because you have to move, well, Backstrom doesn't move up, but you got to move Eller up, which then moves Dowd up to third line, and now you got someone like Pinho filling in on the fourth line. So you're not able to field and you're not able to gel your team early in the season. And when these are essentially your later preseason games at this point, and I'm not the only one that said that. I don't know if you caught it, but in the postgame show after the whichever one Boudreaux was on, the Buffalo,
I think he's been on the last two.
Yeah, so the last game against Buffalo, where they lost in the shootout, I want to say. I don't know. I'm tired. Anyways, so Boudreaux came out and said the same thing that I did in last week's show, in the sense that this is still the preseason for the – I mean, it's not – it is the regular season, but it's essentially the preseason for where they're at physically and developing in the season. You know, you have six or seven preseason games. You know, you're not playing in all of them, but this is sort of the later stages typically of the preseason where you're really starting to gel. And so I think over these next couple of games, we're going to see how these players really come together. And the fact that you don't have some of your top players, and now you may be out even more of your top players, is only going to hurt this team at the beginning part of the season, because they're not having that opportunity to really gel and work together.
I mean, you kind of say it's going to hurt the team, but I mean, the Caps, they're not doing badly. I mean, yes, it's odd that we're Caps fans and we kind of expect more from this team, but they've had a bumpy start to the season, but it doesn't reflect that on the standings or the scoreboard, because most of these games are going to overtime. They love overtime for some reason. I don't know why, but they're starting off pretty well compared to the rest of the league, but they still don't look that great, I guess.
No, you know, the second period has really been a problem in terms of how they've been playing. I don't understand it. I get, you know, you have the long change, but that's not a problem. They're taking a lot of bad penalties, lazy penalties, a lot of tripping calls, hooking calls, which I feel like are just lazy penalties. And it's consistent. I guess they're consistently inconsistent, if that makes sense, or consistently bad in the second period. And that only hurts them in the long run, because they have to push even more in the third, or try and push really hard in the first to get a decent lead, that when you know you're going to play like crap, which is ridiculous, because if you know you're going to do it, just don't do it. But when you're going to play poorly in the second period, then you have to put more emphasis on how you're doing earlier or beforehand. And with, you know, it seems like players dropping like flies right now in terms of injuries, we got even more of a problem, which I wonder if that part of that is due to a lack of a preseason.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. These guys...
well, that's not entirely fair, because we don't know what's wrong with Backstrom, and Ehlers was from a hit. So maybe my comment didn't really make a lot of sense in regards to the Capitals. Yeah,
let me ask you about Ehlers' hit. I was watching that last night, and it was the player on the Islanders got a five-minute major, but was Ehlers' big concern a concussion, or was it the fact that he injured his shoulder? Because to me, it looked like he fell awkwardly and that he injured his shoulder. Do you know anything about what's injured with him?
I haven't seen anything today. You know, I was checking, I'll check it again right now, but I was checking on Samantha Bell's Twitter from the Washington Post to see if there's any more information. And no, I haven't seen anything since yesterday. My guess is they didn't practice today, and she just may not have any more information, but I haven't seen anything on Eller. I would not be surprised if dude's got a concussion.
Yeah,
just
I mean, it's
based
it's
on
hard,
the hit, and he looked like he didn't. He thought he was still in Montreal, going back to the locker room. Like he, I'm not trying to make fun of him, but I guess I'm trying to make not light of the situation, but bring some humor into it. I mean, concussions are no joke. He could be out for one game, no games, or a season.
Yeah, I mean, we saw it with Nick Backstrom. I mean, a couple years ago, probably
we saw it with Mark Savard in his career.
Yeah, 8 years ago, Backstrom missed, 40 games of the season?
That was 8 years ago? God, we're old.
I don't know if it was eight. I feel like it was eight. Might have been six. I don't know. It's been a while.
So, I mean, they're tricky things. I don't even know what's going on with Backstrom. We have the four Russians, and then Wilson's out with what he's calling a weird or freaky injury or something like that, which people are speculating is, like, he did something to his groin.
That's what it sounds like. They said lower body. Yeah.
Well, when he was like, it's a freaky injury, I was like, what you been doing on your free time there, Tom Wilson? Like, what's happening right now? So I thought that was a little weird. But, right now, if there's no Eller, no Backstrom, no Kuznetsov, you're looking at your first line center being Nick Dowd. So, and Dowd has been very good for this team in terms of the role he's expected to play. But first line center, probably above his skill set. And that's not me trying to insult him. He's miles ahead of me in terms of my skill set. But it's this reality of the situation, the reality of the sport. He's not a first line center on an NHL team. To me, it reminds me of the post fire sale years when they were just like, well, we got a bunch of guys. Let's just put them out there and see how everything goes. But this is not a fire sale team. So they have a problem on their hands. It's going to be a lot of work for Laviolette to fix in terms of how he's going to put a decent and competitive lineup out against the Islanders on Thursday when you know they're going to come out fired up because they blew what should have been a win for them on Tuesday.
Is there any chance like he just comes out on the ice and goes, we're forfeiting this game. We don't have enough players.
No, I don't think they're allowed to. I mean, my guess would be they'd put McMichael in somewhere. So, I mean, Scarbosa actually didn't look half bad. But Scarbosa didn't look half bad. And, I mean, theoretically, they have enough centers and enough people. And they could always recall someone from Hershey or bring someone off the – or go with the 11 forwards and 7 defensemen. Like, they have the players to make this work. I don't know if they have the players to win. But they have the players to try and make it work.
Yeah, this 2021 season, this is going to be weird. This is not a good start. Even though they're doing well in the standings, first in the East Division,
they are doing really well in the standings. They're first in the East. They're tied for second in the. It was weird writing first in the East because I was like the whole Eastern Conference. Oh right, we're not doing that right anymore, or at least for the season. Tied for second in the league. They're currently 4-0-3. It's the first time since. I think second time in franchise history that they've gotten a point in the first 7 games. And this is the best they've done points-wise in the first 7 games since they won 7 straight start the season back in the early 2010s, I think I read. So they're not doing terribly, but like if you watch the games, I'm not going into it overly confident that they're going to win just based on what I'm seeing, even though the results are not terrible. They're not great, but they're not terrible. So
this is a team that's still trying to find its footing. They've got a lot of players who are unproven right now. But I mean, it's a good thing because you have a lot of young players that want to be on the ice and show that they can work in the NHL full time. You've got players like Zdeno Chara who are, you know, he is a veteran. However, this is
111.
this is a new team for him. It's a new system he's got to learn. He's got to do it quick. So, I mean, you've got, you know, star players out. And Bruce Boudreau brought up an excellent point about the goaltending situation. Samsonov now missed 4 games, will be missing 4 games minimum. So he's definitely out for the next Islanders game. But Vitek has been playing really well. He's been very impressive. He's had to stand on his head a couple times, but he's the guy that's keeping the Capitals in some of these games that are going to overtime.
100%.
How do you go back to Samsonov being your number one guy after a performance like that from Vitek? You stick with Vitek until he shows some sort of buckling, and then you put Samsonov back in. If I'm the coach of the team, I'm going with the hot hand. I'm sticking with Vitek, even if Samsonov is negative for COVID.
So, it's a tough one. And I actually brought this up in the postgame show, I think, last night, and they were talking about it. Samsonov is your future. That's the belief right now, right? He has the potential, or the believed potential, to be an outstanding goaltender, you know, potentially one day a Vezina winner. Is that going to be the case? Obviously, we don't know. We can't see into the future. Vanacek has made the most of a situation by playing incredibly well. I think you come back in and Samsonov has to fight for his spot, but I think he's still going to get those number one opportunities again, but he's got to show that he's the guy. He's got to show he's the man. You know, I think he made a mistake hanging out with the guys like the other one. You know, like, I mean, they all made a mistake, but he's the youngest one, so I kind of give him a pass because I would imagine if Alex Ovechkin says, hey, you want to come hang out, and you've idolized him, I have to imagine you're like, yes, sir. Yeah. You want me to go through this glass window? I'm doing it. But yeah, no. So going back to Vanecek, I mean, he's played exceptionally well. I'd like to see a little bit better rebound control from him. There's a couple times past couple games where he's let off a rebound. And I'm like, I could have probably scored the goal from there. So I like to see him work on that a little bit. But you know what? He's been moving fast. I feel like he moves pretty quick. He's able to recover very well when he puts himself into a bad situation or location. And I feel like he actually does a better job of that than Samsonov, or at least from what I'd seen at the start of the season. But it's still early. So I think once Samsonov comes back, it's going to be a fight. But I think, if anything, Samsonov's still number one, but Vanecek, he's not number two. He's 1B now.
And the other thing you got to think about, especially with this year, there's a bunch of back-to-backs. There's a game, it's game, day off, game. I mean, it's a shortened season, so they're trying to pack as many games into a shortened amount of time. So really, like, is there going to be a number one? Like you said, 1A, 1B, I think, you know, there's a chance that we were going to see that no matter what. It might not even matter.
Or even more Samsonov, so now.
Yeah, Samsonov could come back, and they're going to go, all right, VTech, you get this game, but tomorrow, Samsonov, you're playing. I mean, it could come down to something like that, but I don't know. It's just a weird season. All these different factors are coming in. It's not just, I guess, like I said about going with the hot hand, I guess you really can't go with the hot hand due to the timing of games this season.
Yeah, I mean, it'll depend. You know, some guys can play back-to-backs, and I think if Samsonov was, you know, playing like a star goalie, you definitely would have a couple opportunities for him to play back-to-backs. But I think now Vanecek has been given an opportunity because of extraordinary circumstances, and he's run with it. And I think as a result, you're more confident in having him play in that second or that first, depending on the teams, of those back-to-backs. You're not as concerned about it because you're seeing, you know, really good goaltending from him.
All right, what else should we talk about in Caps world here?
Can we talk about Bruce for a minute?
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about
Bruce. I actually
really
like him on the post-game show.
He's really good.
I thought Alsner was good. You know, he needs to work on his Wi-Fi and his electricity situation. But I actually think that Boudreau is really entertaining, and it's going to be unfortunate, and maybe not, because I know he's established roots in Hershey. He's got a juniors team or something like that that he's like owner or something with. And, you know, so I don't think he's going to be making the trips to Bethesda all the time, but I really enjoy having him on there. And he's already got great rapport with people on there.
Does he have to go to Bethesda? Look what we're doing right now.
Well, no, I think that once things go back to normal, that we are likely to have it sort of everybody's back in the, you know, back in the studio, so to speak. But I don't know. I think you could have him join occasionally. You know, I mean, we're going to talk about everything going on with NBC later on, and we don't know exactly what that's going to mean for the future in terms of local broadcast. But you could have a thing where he'd come, you know, joining us from Hershey, this Bruce Boudreau kind of thing. But I want to see more of him on the broadcast. He's actually, I think, really good.
He's got fantastic insight. I love the things that he's saying. Like he brought up with VTech. I think you and I were kind of talking about it on text the one night about VTech. And there's Bruce on camera going, hey, I think he'd be my number one guy going forward. You have an opportunity, and he ran with it. So he's got some great insight. He's got a great hockey mind. I mean, I love the other guys on the broadcast. But Bruce, I mean, if he wants to do this, you know, full time, this is a guy whose opinion I respect, and I want to hear what he has to say. I think he's doing great.
Yeah, I mean, I really enjoyed. I enjoyed hearing his insight into the game. I think it's great that he already has the rapport with Beninati and Lachlan, and they're kind of goofing around after the gutsy win over the Islanders. They were talking about what's her name, Alexis, the new sort of host of the postgame show. She was talking about the last time that the Caps had won, when they went 7-0 to start the season, and Boudreau chimes in. Hey, do you guys know who the coach was of the team when we did that? And I was like, wow. Second time, he's already screwing around. Like, I'm for it. It was actually really fun.
Now, you brought up Connor McMichael getting a jersey, a sweater, mm-hmm. if you will, a game or two ago. What did you think of his debut?
Maybe I just had higher hopes, and I'm going to blame Ryan for that.
Yeah.
I think we bring him up every show. No, I, you know, I had higher hopes, and I, it wasn't that I wasn't impressed per se. I just don't think he made an impact in even a small way that I thought he would have, you know? I mean, given he's probably nervous, he's a young guy playing his first game in the NHL in a weird situation. But I kind of expected to see more from him than I did. And I was a little disappointed that he didn't play in the next game, being the first game against the Islanders. But then I saw something saying he might have an injury, but I don't know if that's the case. I haven't seen that anywhere else.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything about an injury. But I was a little surprised as well that he only got the one game. So if you weren't impressed, it doesn't sound like Peter Laviolette was impressed either.
I don't know. You know, we'll have to – I guess if Eller and Backstrom are out, then McMichael's going to get a jersey because they don't have anyone left. But, I want to see a little bit more. I'm not expecting it to be scoring a goal every game or every other game or every third game. But I just thought I'd get a little bit, I don't know, more from him, I guess. I'm trying to think of a better way to describe it in terms of, like, how I would say that McMichael, like, I don't have, like, the highest of expectations for him necessarily this season, but maybe it's, like, you know, because Carlson came in and made a big difference, and then Wilson came in and made a big difference, and then maybe I just have these higher expectations as a result than
is. Well, like, he was supposed to be the second coming. He was supposed to be, you know, if Ovechkin goes down, he was going to be the face of the franchise.
Let's not go that crazy, but
I mean, that's what some people were saying, that this guy was lighting it up in the OHL.
No, he was. But, let's give him the kid some time. Maybe it's my fault in terms of, like, having these, like, higher expectations than it's fair. But I kind of felt to see more from him, and I wonder just how much his nerves messed with him.
I mean, his mom did tweet out a picture of him in an OV jersey for Halloween one year. So, I mean, he's been dreaming about this for a while. Although you've dressed up like Ovechkin for Halloween as well, so
not Ovechkin per se. During the lockout, I dressed up as a hockey player. It just I happened to be wearing an Ovechkin jersey. Was I wearing?
Speaking of which, why wasn't this in your notes? New third jerseys,
totally
new third sweaters that debuted last night's game. They said, "Hey, we got new jerseys. Oh, and by the way, we're wearing them tomorrow." So they debuted these navy blue jerseys, and I got to say, might be my favorite jerseys of all time. Absolutely love this look. I love the navy blue. You know how much I love the Stadium Series jersey. This looks just like the Stadium Series jersey. I love this. Absolutely love this jersey. I want one right now. Buy me one.
No, first of all, I'm not buying you one, but that's not whether I like them or not. But I just, they're not bad.
I was not surprised that you actually said not bad.
I'm not a huge fan of the W logo. I think that's a better secondary logo. But I get it. I kind of think if they had the eagle on it, I'd like it better. And I feel like the white along the top looks weird. Like, I feel like if there was a larger red stripe along the bottom of the white part, and then the red collar was a little bit bigger, then it would be better. I think it would the symmetry from the top to the bottom, I feel like, would make more sense.
See, if it was just all blue, there was no white at the top, I would be fine with that as well. I don't like the different color shoulders, but I love this jersey.
That's
interesting.
I got to look it up real quick to see what that would look like.
Yeah, I love the navy blue. My lady friend, she likes the W because it reminds her of Wonder Woman. She's a big Wonder Woman fan.
Oh, that's an interesting point. Okay, I can see that. All blue on the top? Yeah, actually, that wouldn't be half bad.
Yeah.
The white, it just, there's nothing. How do our shows always end up in us doing a fashion segment? It just goes from blue to white, and there's no segue, but then you have the red and the white on the bottom and on the sleeves. I like this as a concept. I'm not a huge fan of the W logo. Maybe it's just because it seems very big. Like, maybe if they made it a little smaller on the front, it would look better. And the white just looks weird. But other than that, I don't mind having the, like, separate color on the top because it's, like, the old Caps jerseys that I always want back. But
right.
I like this. It's not bad. They have four decent jerseys this season. You know, the red and the whites are okay. The reverse retros I actually really like. And this one's not bad. I would say this is my second favorite probably of the jerseys this season. Question for you though. Why are the reverse retros, which we made the biggest deal about, that they limited edition reverse retros are only 4 games, but this jersey they're going to do 7 games?
I don't know. And this one is sticking around for 3 years. The reverse retros are out the door.
I'm bothered by that because I want to bring back the vintage reds, but I want those to be our primary one. I should put that jersey up behind me, the old red one behind me. I want that to be the primary jersey. It still works.
You know? I like it, but I like this blue one. I don't like the red, to be honest. I mean, I think we've done Rock the Red. I think we're done with the red. Let's move on.
This one?
Let's do a...
Well, they've moved on from Rock the Red to all caps because they're trying to come up with a slogan and they looked at their keyboard and came up with something. But no, I think they're going to stick with a red theme, but, you know... I like the idea of a third jersey being a blue one. This one, I think they could have gone a little bit. It could be a little bit better.
Yeah, the W is a little weird. They could have gone with the eagle, but I like the navy blue. They could have had a whole new theme.
Look at this one with the white with the W in blue with the red stars on the shoulder. That actually, or like the top of the shoulder, that would have been nice. And then go with the weagle or written out the script, not caps. Like that was stupid. But the script one across, that would be nice. I'd like that. I'm curious what next year's like limited edition thing is going to be. Because it looks like they made bank on it this year. So, of course, they're going to want to do it again.
Yeah, everyone went a little crazy this year. Calm yourselves down.
But, yeah, I think that's it in Caps World right now. I think it covers all of the notes I have and some that I forgot.
All right, well, that's it for Caps World. Hopefully, I mean, with that Islanders game, they looked like they were getting things together. I mean, this regular preseason is what we're going to call this part, first month maybe of hockey. It's a regular season that's also a preseason. Hopefully they can all get it together and still doing well in points-wise. Gather up those points. I mean, it's not a complete loss, but you're not going to go far in the playoffs if you're playing like this. Let's hope they can get their act together in that way. So that's it for what's going on in Caps World. Now let's go down on the farm. All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Hey, it's the first time this year we're going to do this. We're going to talk some Hershey Bears and South Carolina Stingrays down on the farm. Coach Dan, get us all ready, man. What's going on in the AHL and the ECHL?
Well, let's start in Hershey, where they released their schedule for the 2021 season. They'll play 36 regular season games starting on Friday, February 5th at Newark, followed up with their home opener on Saturday against Lehigh Valley. Now, in other Bears news, the team named Matt Molson captain for the upcoming season. Molson became the team's 44th captain in team history. And the Bears,
did you see the video of his kids announcing it to him?
I saw the video. I didn't hear it.
Okay.
I was just watching
it was cool.
I was watching it and seeing the reaction. That is a pretty clever way for them to go about announcing that he's going to be the next team captain. And another Bears news, they collected 31,381 teddy bears in their drive-through teddy bear toss. The bears will be donated to 8 local charities. Now, this event normally takes place in December, and the team actually set a world record back in 2019 when they collected 45,650 bears at a game. First of all, I don't ever want to be the person whose job it is to count all those bears. Second of all, did anyone come out of that game with a concussion that was in the stands? Like, I know
they're
just teddy bears.
They're soft.
Yo, you put it from high enough and chuck that thing, it's going to get a decent rate of speed that could still hurt. And some of those things probably had, you know, a little piece inside because it makes noise or something.
I think we should test this out. Let me hit you in the face with a teddy bear.
Okay. You're very violent and angry towards me, and I don't know why.
Also, besides the Hershey Bears schedule and everything being released, they actually said with the schedule release that they're going to be allowing a very limited number of fans at home games this season.
Really?
And that they're trying to figure out their plan for the February games. They don't have that set in stone yet, and that season ticket holders will be getting first dibs But for whatever reason, I mean, if the NHL is not allowing fans, I don't know how the AHL is going to be safer. But
well, I've heard that indoor places during a pandemic is a great place for a bunch of people to be.
That's what it seems like. And I mean, I guess they're thinking it's Hershey. People aren't going to be touching each other. They're just going to be touching chocolate bars. They're eating themselves. I don't know. But they're going to allow fans at games this season, which
seems illogical. I will not
be attending.
I will not be attending, one, because of COVID, and two, because they never win when I go. 0-5 last time.
But you did get a cool hat last year.
That's true. I did get a hat thanks to that dude for hooking me up. Down in South Carolina, where I'm going to be moving to get away from Brandon, their season started back in December. Now, they're currently 7-1-3 and second in the Eastern Conference. Their next game is on Friday in Florida, followed up on Saturday against those same Everblades, then Sunday in Orlando. Then they have a few days off before taking on Greenville on Wednesday at the North Charleston Coliseum. That's what's going on down on the farm.
Why you want to go to South Carolina, man? Why you want to do that?
I don't, but you keep threatening me.
I'm a good guy.
First, you're trying to make me buy you stuff, and then you threaten to hit me with a teddy bear in the face.
Come on. Come on. I just want a little jersey. That's all.
We're not even in the same room, and I'm still concerned for my well-being.
All right. Well, that's it for what's going down on the farm. Go Bears. Go Stingrays. Now let's go around the NHL. Everybody, here we go. We're going around the NHL. They're staying busy, and some really weird stuff going on around the NHL. Stuff you just kind of popping up that's you know, we're not kind of used to. So, Coach Dan, tell us what's going on around the NHL.
It's 2020, 2021. It's going to be a weird season. But let's start in Pittsburgh, where GM Jim Rutherford announced his resignation today due to personal reasons. That came out of nowhere. Patrick Alvin, the Penn's assistant GM, will be their interim GM as they look for a new general manager. There's a big trade that everyone kind of saw coming in the past week as Columbus sent forward Pierre-Luc Dubois and a 2022 third-round pick to Winnipeg for forwards Patrick Laine and Jack Roslovic. We knew that Laine wanted to get out of Winnipeg. Dubois and Tortorella had a pretty big falling out. Brandon's got his hand raised. Yes, sir.
I have a question.
Yes, go ahead, Mr. Holthouse.
So, wow, you said my name correctly. That's nobody
it's
ever.
It's written on Zoom. It's not hard.
All right. So, if this guy's being traded from Columbus to Winnipeg, how is he crossing the border? How is he allowed to go into the Canadian land? You make this trade. Do these guys have to quarantine for 2 weeks before they're allowed to join the team?
Probably not. So they have this thing. I don't know if it's the same, but they have this thing over in Europe where it's like a special exemption for athletes because my understanding.
They're so special.
No, my guess is because they already have all of these like extra rules put upon them that the need to quarantine is less because everyone knows where they are at all times. So basically they go to practice or they go to the training if you're over there, or they go to the game and then they go home and like there's nowhere else they're going. So it's a little bit different.
They hang out in each other's hotel rooms.
No, that's only if you're a Russian on the Capitals. So there's an exemption, I should say. I don't know. Both those might actually work for athletes or certain athletes over there. But I don't know how that's going to work, but you know, it is both these trades kind of people saw coming. But yeah, you bring up an interesting question as to how that's going. I mean, at some point, if one of the Canadian teams makes it into the cup final, you're going to have them going back and forth. Unless they NFL this thing and find like a neutral site. So I don't know what they're going to do.
I thought the Stanley Cup was, it was going to all happen in Edmonton like they did.
Oh, are they doing that again? I don't remember.
I thought so. I mean, I could be completely wrong, but I thought that was true.
I don't know. We'll worry about that later. Either way, Vegas was interestingly without their coaching staff after they all had to quarantine. So general manager Kelly McCrimmon became the head coach and was backed up by the coaches from their AHL affiliate in Henderson. So, yeah, that's going to be what happens this season. In NWHL news, after missing the completion of last season's 2020 Isabel Cup playoffs due to the COVID shutdown, the NWHL returned to the ice on Saturday in Lake Placid, New York. Fantastic. Great memories there. Not for me personally. Yeah. I wasn't alive yet. Inside their own bubble for obvious safety reasons. Now, from Saturday, January 23rd through Friday, February 5th, the NWHL will play 24 games in total in 2 weeks, round-robin tournament amongst the league's six teams. None of them are in D.C., which is unfortunate. I actually think that would be a fun thing to go to. To find out who is going to be the 2021 Isabel Cup champion, which would be the fifth in league history. Now, last season's cup final between Boston Pride and the Minnesota Whitecaps, which confused me because there's an MLS team called the Vancouver Whitecaps. And I was like, what? They have the same name. That was actually canceled due to the pandemic. So the Whitecaps enter this new bubble as the... Every time we talk about a bubble, I always think of the Simpsons movie. Did you do the same thing? Just me?
Well, no, but now you will. It's a good movie. Yeah.
Now every time you're going to be like, Simpsons bit. It will enter the bubble as the reigning cup champions. Now, of these 24 games that will be happening, 21 of them will be available domestically and globally on Twitch, which is Brandon's favorite thing of all time.
I'm very intrigued by it.
Well, they are going to be the NWHL streaming partner. So you can go to twitch.tv/NWHL.
And I will say, I did tune in and watched a bit of the game on Saturday, this past Saturday, on the 23rd. And they're being very safe. They have commentator. Like, it's a legit broadcast on Twitch. It's not just like somebody set up a camera and it's one shot like we've seen with some of the scrimmages at the old Kettler Center. But this actually... There's multiple cameras, there's commercial breaks, there's commentators. I mean, this is a legit broadcast. It's actually very cool.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't seen it yet because I don't really understand Twitch at this point. But I'm old, apparently. But no, it sounds cool. I'm going to see if I can check a couple of them out. The three final games of the tournament will actually air on NBCSN for U.S. fans and will be streamed on Twitch globally. And the semifinals, they'll be on Thursday, February 4th at 5:30 and 8 p.m., and the cup final will be on Friday, February 5th at 7 p.m. Now, unfortunately, the bubble was clouded with some harassment directed towards the NWHL reporters, fans, and staffers by the CEO of misogynistic and overall D-bags Barstool Sports. Now, everything I read about these guys, I just dislike them more and more. Now, their CEO, Erica Nardini, posted a video to social media calling them out for criticizing the company's links to the league. Why would you go out of your way to be an a-hole to any league? None of us like Bettman. We think he sucks as a commissioner.
Yeah, so apparently from what I understand, the NWHL put out that Barstool Sports and them were partnering up or something, and then people went crazy on Twitter and said, How could you team up with Barstool Sports? And this is unbelievable. We don't want their money and this, that, whatever. And Barstool Sports got all ticked off. And they're like, we're investing a bunch of money into your league and trying to get you recognized and get people interested in your league. And you guys, and they specifically put out tweets from specific people and said, you guys are trashing us for whatever reason. So it was kind of like a very immature back and forth between, I mean, that's pretty much the internet anyway.
That's true. But, that is a very good description.
Yeah. But it was very much like an iron rubber, you're glue type of situation, it seemed like.
Well, that's a very mature way to handle things. Now, yeah. In an evening press release, commissioner of the NWHL, Ty Tuminia, stood up for those affected by the issue, saying, on behalf of the NWHL, I would like to respond to the video posted last night by a media platform about the NWHL investment, fan engagement, and coverage. As commissioner, my top priority is to protect, promote, and reinforce the values of the NWHL and its players. First and foremost, we must remain inclusive and empowering for women. I don't know what the things are. You put a little brackets here. Agreed. The success of our movement hinges on respect, opportunity, and a strong sense of connectedness across our players, teams, staff, fans, partners, and avid supporters. Let's keep the focus on our athletes and build on the momentum created in the first few exciting days here in Lake Placid. There is no circumstance where it would be an... There is no circumstance where it would be acceptable to call out many of the reporters, staff members, and fans who have given so much to women's hockey, especially knowing that these people could be targeted or harassed on social media. Well put.
Yeah, it's a very unfortunate that, you know, we have never covered the NWHL before on this show at all. And I saw over the weekend that they were streaming on Twitch, and I'm like, you know what, this tournament's coming up. It's going to be broadcasted on NBC Sports. We should probably be covering it just because it's hockey, and we all want it, and we want to see women's hockey succeed, and we want, you know, maybe our listeners could gain interest in this league as well, even though there isn't a DC affiliate. It'd be nice to just, you know, watch some hockey and see what's going on. It kind of sucks that we got to talk about this kind of stuff too, that, you know, videos are posted and they're naming people out and there's harassment and that kind of stuff. It just, it's ridiculous. Like, let's, why focus on, why, you know, why does Barstool Sports have to do something like that and just focus on the league and the players in it? There's no reason for what they're doing. So it sucks, but the important thing is that the Isabel Cup tournament is happening right now, and there's some fantastic play, and if you're interested and you want to watch some hockey, go check it out on Twitch.
Well put, sir. Well put.
Thank you.
And finally, in broadcast news, NBC Universal announced that they will shut down NBC Sports by the end of the year, according to an internal memo that was obtained by the New York Times. Now, the memo states that they will move some of their sports programming to the USA Network and to Peacock streaming service, which, first, they need to up their interface for Peacock. I haven't used it in a while, but it's a bit of a nightmare. So that's the first problem. Second of all, people have to pay for it. Already pay for cable. Why I gotta pay for streaming service, NHL? I don't understand it. But the USA Network will begin carrying or simulcasting, which is a word, I guess, certain NBC Sports programming, including Stanley Cup playoff games. Now, for the past decade, NBC Universal has paid an average of $200 million annually. I will happily take some of that. To be the national broadcaster of the A. If I got some of that, Brandon, I can buy you that jersey you want.
Yay!
To be the national broadcaster of the NHL in the U.S., with most of those games appearing on NBC Sports Network. However, that deal expires after this season, so it's going to be interesting to see if any other networks make a strong push to get the NHL. I hope it's not ESPN, because they'll just shove it all on ESPN Plus, and I'll never get to see anything.
All right, so I'm super excited to talk about this right now. I love this kind of, like, TV streaming rights and that kind of stuff, and broadcasting rights. I absolutely love talking about this kind of stuff. So this was incredibly interesting to me. So my first question, and it worries me, NBC Sports is going away. What does that mean for the local affiliates, NBC Sports Washington and the other affiliates around the country? Because, you know, they were Comcast Sportsnet before they became this affiliate. I think they already came out and said that the local networks will not be affected. However, it's hard to think about the fact that this national broadcaster will be shutting down and that the local affiliates will not be affected. I don't know how truthful that is. We're seeing it right now with Fox Sports, which is going to be rebranded around the country as well. That's going away. These sports channels are kind of all getting, you know, everything's being pushed together. I think it was Adam Vingan. Let me look him up real quick.
Yeah, check. My guess for the Capitals, while you look that up, I'll kind of riff. My guess for the Capitals is you know, they always have to re-up their deal with NBC Sports Washington, which was CSN, which was, what was it before that? Either way, there will be some sort of local broadcast, whether that is on Masson, which is a nightmare in itself right now, whether that is with whatever local affiliate they end up with. Part of me wouldn't be surprised, and it makes me a little anxious because it probably would end up being either costing more or some sort of streaming service with Monumental, but I would not be at all surprised if Leonsis and Monumental came out with their own network.
Oh,
kind of like how the Orioles own MSN, Masson.
Yeah.
I would not at all be surprised if we had the Monumental Sports Network. And oh god, it'll be Masson and Missin. That's gonna be confusing.
That's already a streaming service, isn't it?
Isn't MSN?
No, the Monumental. They did a streaming service last year, I think.
Well, no, they have like their own online thing, but I wouldn't be surprised if they set up their own like TV station. You know, so they had the Capitals and the Wizards and the Mystics and even maybe the Go-Go and they're like gaming league teams. And if Arena Football stuck around, you know, they'd be able to have all of that on their own network. Instead of having to pay to be on there or have some sort of deal, they would just own it.
So Adam Vingan posted that Sinclair Broadcasting, and I think it's Bailey's, they are changing to a new name and logo for all regional networks. So Fox Sports South and Fox Sports Southeast will be rebranded as Bailey Sports South and Bailey Sports Southeast. They're the ones that would cover the Nashville Predator games. So, I mean, it could just be as simple as just a rebranding. So it could be Peacock Washington or something like that.
Oh, God.
USA, like it. But here's the thing,
though.
That would be
terrible. So, coming to you, Capitals, live on Peacock Washington.
So I've been doing a lot of research because, again, I work in television. This kind of stuff does fascinate me. So excuse me for being a little nerdy here for the next couple minutes. But so with NBC Sports going away and they're moving that to the USA Network, it's unfortunate that there's going to be a lot of jobs that are going away. But like hockey, the Premier League, horse racing, anything like that that was on NBC Sports, you know, we're not going to get a chance to see probably the Isabel Cup again on TV because that channel is going away. So this might be a one and done, unfortunately. But with that channel going away, there's going to be less emphasis on sports for broadcast television, because a lot of these streaming services are picking up to make sports exclusive to them, because apparently streaming services are having this thing called churn that they are not having. So people are signing up for Disney Plus, watching 10 episodes of The Mandalorian, and then checking out. And when The Mandalorian comes back, they sign back up in the November of the next year. So they're having trouble keeping people subscribed throughout the whole year. So those $10, $15 from every single user, it's not for 12 months. They're watching what they want to watch, and then they're deactivating their account, and then they're re-signing back up when something else piques their interest. So places, streaming services, are looking for a reason for people to stay tuned in for the whole 12-month period of the year. So Peacock, on Monday, announced that they had purchased the WWE network, and they purchased it for over $1 billion. So all of the content that WWE has on the network, every single WrestleMania, every single pay-per-view from WWF, WCW, ECW, any of the stuff that they broadcast live will be all migrated to Peacock. So they spent $1 billion for that. That means, so if you're a Comcast or Xfinity user, you get Peacock for free. That means in March, WrestleMania, which is the Super Bowl of the wrestling industry, will be free for Comcast users for the first time ever. Normally, that's a $60 pay-per-view event. So it's interesting that they're spending $1 billion. They're taking away, you know, the They're getting paid no matter what, whether the product's good or not. They're getting paid for the next 5 years, $1 billion. But Peacock wants it because that means every single month a new live event is happening, and they're hoping that hooks people to stay paying for Peacock every single month. Disney bought ESPN Plus and started that. They bought the UFC for $4 billion, and they put that behind a paywall. And every other week is a UFC fight night that has people logging in and being a part of ESPN Plus every single month. Now, the Conor McGregor fight, they upped the price for that event to $70, and that did not deter people. It was the second most streamed or most paid for event from the UFC, and I think it made $450 million just for that one event. So it's people are willing to pay and people are willing to stream. The churn is what they're looking for. So if the NHL is up for grabs now, that means you're going to have NBC, who has Peacock. They're going to want the NHL to stick around to be on Peacock and to have people pay for that. but ESPN's also going to be a buyer there. And if the WWE Network, you know, made $1 billion for their library, the NHL, they'll probably make $4 billion for what they're looking for. I mean, they'll make $4 or $5 billion even, depending on who the highest bidder is. Amazon Prime doesn't have any of those sporting events. They have one game in the NFL a week, and that's it. So could the NHL go to Amazon Prime? It's the wild, wild west right now, because it's this brand new way to get people entertained. This streaming is no longer the future. It is the present. And these people, these companies are trying to figure out how to hook that audience and get them to stick around every single year and pay $10 or $15 every single month. And live sports are the way to do it. You know, the MLB and like Masson, like you brought up, they're way behind, because Masson is going to be streaming for the first time ever this year. But you need to have a cable subscription, and you have to sign in with your cable account in order to be able to stream on your tablet or your phone to watch an Orioles game. But it's going to be, I'm very intrigued, because the NHL could go many different ways. But the NBC Peacock thing that they've been friends with for so long and they've worked with for over a decade, they have the Olympics, and they're going to allow their players to go play in the Olympics. So could they stick around with NBC because of that relationship? There's a good chance. Maybe. But if ESPN's saying, hey, we'll give you $2 billion more than they will, they're going to go with the $2 billion. So I'm fascinated by this kind of stuff, and this really, I mean, the NHL could land anywhere. It's I don't see them, you know, they're if you're a content creator, you're in demand right now. If you're streaming, you're a buyer. So they really could end up anywhere.
That's a good point. That was a lot of information.
Right?
But no, I mean, it's interesting. They're still going to be a local broadcast. I don't imagine that being behind a paywall necessarily. I mean, I think that fans would probably have some sort of revolt if they put local broadcasts behind a paywall. But in regards to nationally televised, you know, the bigger broadcasts, you know, I could see that happening one day, be it behind Peacock or behind Apple Plus or whatever the case might be. And, you know, but I'm curious to see what happens to the local broadcast in terms of whether that's going to stay NBC Sports Washington or Peacock Washington, or if Leonsis and co. decide to come up with their own network and make a deal with, you know, Verizon and Comcast and whoever else is to take that spot or have a spot, you know, a channel dedicated for their own programming. I mean, the Yankees have it with was it Yes Network?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
There's no reason that the, you know, the Caps couldn't do the same thing. And if they really want to think about it, they could probably go in and get the Nationals out of the deal with Masson and, you know, broadcast Nats games and make some more money off of that. And what will probably be a better deal for the Nationals.
Yeah, because they're not favored in that
deal.
No,
they don't
right
like the deal, and they're pissed. I don't know. The Nats released a statement about how Masson went out and basically fired a couple of the reporters that they, you know, mm-hmm. before game and post game shows, and how they, Orioles is the same thing with a number of guys. I know Gary Thorne wasn't necessarily
there's
thrilled
no
about being in
post game this year.
There's a 15 minute before and after with everyone involved with the broadcast.
And it's unfortunate, because that means a lot of production people that work locally here are out of a job.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens over the next 12 months.
And this, I mean, of course, you do have the streaming wars going on, but COVID is also a big reason for this as well, because when sports went away for so many months, people weren't spending money on ads during games because there weren't any.
Yeah. I mean, you got the logos on the helmets. You got, actually, my wife noticed this, they had the Geico logo around half the rink. Which I thought, why half the rink? You know, that's not only there during a regular game. So it's, you know, the leagues and the teams are going to find a way to make money that they wouldn't normally do. I mean, you've sold the naming rights to divisions because they need to find a way. And they've said it's only going to happen for this season, but they got to do that because they're not getting fans in the stands. But yeah, that's somehow the news from the past week in hockey.
Well, there's a lot going on in the hockey world, and I absolutely love that we're covering every little bit of it. So this has been a lot of fun. If you guys want to continue the conversation with Coach Dan or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan, talking all kinds of Capitals-related things, like who is going to be playing center in their next game. Anybody with skates, you're up. We'll get down to Capital One Arena because they're going to need some help. You can also find me on Twitter talking about Arsenal Football Club and the loan signing of Martin Ødegaard. I don't know how to actually pronounce his name. I apologize. I think that's a great move for them to bring him in, give some cover for Emile Smith Rowe as they continue to move up the table in the Premier League. Also on there talking about the Bills and their unfortunate end to their season, but let's be honest, they just got blitzed by Kansas City, and the end result was fair. But they're building something. They're going to be even better next year. Need to get a running game, maybe some O-line help for Josh Allen, but the Bills will be back. Also talking about Washington Football Club from time to time, see what's going on with them. And some other things on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan. But hey, if you've enjoyed the show and if you're interested in broadcast television rights, go ahead and check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. It's where you'll find out when new shows are coming out, as well as all sorts of other interesting things related to the Washington Capitals, the National Hockey League, National Women's Hockey League, and just general things involving hockey. But that's facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. Brandon, do you have any new shows coming out regarding your Baltimore Ravens subject podcast?
Yeah, so if you are a Baltimore Ravens fan, make sure you follow The Call wherever you listen to this show. It's also available there. We just recorded a new show today, and I'm in the midst of editing that. So this week, you will have a brand new What the Puck and a brand new episode of The Call. So lots of stuff to listen with your ear holes from me. So make sure you check out The Call podcast. I popped you on that one.
I don't know why the way you said that made me laugh, but the way you said ear holes got me. You're like, in your ear holes. And I was just like, I'm done.
Yeah, that's an old Kevin Smith joke. So
that was a good one.
I gotta give him credit there.
I was like, what just happened?
All right. So we do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcast, and Spotify. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us an Apple Podcast review, and then let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Twitch and TikTok. Anywhere you're social on the web or with your phone, say, I'm a Washington Capitals fan. I listen to What the Puck, and you should too. So let's go over the games until we talk again. Only three games until we talk again. So actually, that's all we had this week too. So lots of fun stuff's probably going to happen.
That's the same. Let me check Twitter to see if anybody else got fined or let's see. Anybody else getting in the world of hockey? Caps getting any more fines or anything? Now, I'm not seeing anything, but I'm sure as soon as we're done here, something will come up.
Wonderful. So the next game is on Thursday, January 28th. The Capitals, they have that return game against the Islanders in D.C. The game's at 7 o'clock. You can watch that on NBC Sports Washington. And then on Saturday, a Saturday night game, January 30th. Capitals staying in D.C. They will be up against the Boston Bruins. That game's at 7 o'clock. You can watch that on NBC Sports Washington or ESPN Plus. And then on Monday, February 1st, already done the first month of 2021. February 1st, the Capitals are up against the Bruins. That game's at 7 o'clock, and you can watch that on NBC Sports Washington. So, Coach Dan, two games against Boston. Now, it's in D.C., but Chara going to see his old team. What do you think that game's going to be like?
I mean, I'm sure it's going to be a bit emotional for him. Being there as long as he was, I'm sure he's going to have some conflicting emotions, but I think he's also probably going to want to win the game pretty bad because they wanted to move on from him. And well, that might be not fair the way I put that. You know, they just wanted him to not have as big of a role, or maybe they did want to move on from him, and I'm sure he's going to want to prove him wrong.
He's already got his first goal as a Capital, right?
Mm-mm. Assist. Yeah. He's got points, but I don't think he's scored a goal yet.
I thought he scored an empty netter. Maybe I'm wrong. I could be wrong, but anyway.
I can check, but I don't think I went. Have they had? No, they've had one empty net goal, but I don't think it was Chara. Yeah, Chara's got 1 point in 7 games.
Okay. Well, hopefully
he's plus five.
No, he's not doing bad. All right, well, we are excited to see Chara against the Boston Bruins, so we'll be talking about that next week. Everybody, say it loud, say it proud. Wear a mask.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jacks. For more information, go to brandocash.com.